Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Me just get our meeting stuff here. I'm going to call to order our meeting, and we may roll call, please.
Yes. Good afternoon. Get this microphone right here. Oh, there we go. Everyone can hear me? Okay. Afternoon, everyone. And thank you for joining us. This is the Monday, April 21st, North Los Angeles County Transportation Coalition Joint Powers Authority Board Meeting. Roll call. Chair McLean.
Here.
Thank you. Director Gibbs.
Here.
Thank you. Director Hennaway. Thank you. Vice Chair Chris.
Present.
Thank you, Director Mann. Thank you, Director Niebla. Thank you, Director Barger.
Here.
Thank you, Director Pastrella. Director Pastrella. Okay, Director Berlin. Thank you, Director Bishop. Thank you, sir. Director Olson. Thank you, Director Loa. Thank you, ex officio board members, Mr. Tompkins. Thank you. Director Aguilar. Thank you. Board member alternates, Director Lauren Hughes Leslie. Thank you. Non-voting member today. Director Perez, absent. Director Perry. Thank you. You're a voting member until Mr. Pastrello comes in, Mr. Perry. Director Letts. Thank you. You're a non-voting member today, sir. And your executive member staff, Arthur Sohickian, present, and your legal counsel, Ms. Jacobson. Thank you. You have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Mayor Loa, may I ask if you would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Do we have any public comments?
Yes, let me go through the public comment. Thank you, Madam Chair. If you'd like to make comment today at the board meeting, and if you're present, please fill out the speaker cards that are there at the table. If you're on the Zoom and would like to participate, please use the star, the raise hand function, or if you're on the phone, the *9 function. Of course, we urge you to communicate with us at all times, but if you'd like to comment on any of the agenda items, now is your time to do so. For overall public comment, that is occurring right now, and then there's time to speak on each agenda item. For overall public comment, I know that Mr. Zink, you had put in a card. Was it not for overall? You wanted it for some of the specific items, sir? Okay, go ahead. So you have 2 minutes, please.
Yeah, hi, Jason Zink. I'm here today to lobby for the my idea, which is to create an Antelope Valley super commuter opportunity zone. It'd be an economic zone that receives tax incentives, just like the Hollywood tax incentives, to help the 75,000 to 100,000 commuters that commute 2 to 5 hours every day, workday, suffering. I don't believe that our state legislatures or our county and city governments have advocated for these commuters. Juan Carrillo, he's been in office 3 years. He's had almost 60 bills, and not one of them was listed for a commuter to help the commuters. There's something wrong here, you know? I just think it's a winning thing. If there was a spot on a map that said this is an opportunity zone for Trump's $7 trillion in investment that he's bringing it back in jobs to invest in America, why wouldn't you guys want this zone? We have an opportunity to put it in the Trump tax bill. We should have done it in 2017. Now we have another opportunity. It's going through congressional hearings. And I think Supervisor Barger, you being the chair, which is one of the most powerful positions in the state of California, you have a lot of juice to make amendments into that tax bill and also to make a state opportunity zone and a county opportunity zone that would give credits to people to build in Antelope Valley. And it benefits Santa Clarita too, because as you know, Santa Clarita is all built up. So they're going to have to move manufacturing and warehouses and stuff are going to have to move to Antelope Valley. But all the executives and stuff aren't going to live in Antelope Valley. They're going to live in Santa
15
Clarita.
Seconds, sir.
But that's just the way it is, because the higher quality of life Santa Clarita has. And I would like Palmdale and Lancaster to match that high standards of quality of life, like you guys have with your streets and your street signs and your parks. So Supervisor Barger, I'd like you to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Looking at the Zoom, any other members of the public? Seeing none in here in the audience. Mr. Graves, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to comment on agenda number 14. So I assume I just wait until that moment, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Thank you.
You could lower your hand. Thank you, sir. So any other members of the public would like to comment during public comment, agenda item number 4, please do so now, raising your hand or using the star 9 function. Seeing none, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you for your comments as well. Maybe I'd be interested in looking into something like that. So maybe we can have a discussion on that at some future time. Okay, now we go to the consent calendar. Does anyone wish to pull anything off of the consent?
No, we had item number 11.
Okay.
We got them. And then it's a late lunch though. It's a late lunch. He's been working right through lunch, madam. So and then I know that the board, Madam Chair, likes to have item number 7, the highway patrol. But if we could, before consent, if we could ask for Mr. Najarian's presentation. I know that they're short on time. He has to be down for a ceremony down in the basin. So if there's any way we can put up his item right now, which would be item 13, before we go to the consent calendar.
Oh, I think we might be able to.
So item number 13, this is the Metro North County Corridor update by Metro and Metrolink Board of Director R. Najarian. And today he also has with him the head of Metrolink Security, Mr. Hillary Gonzalez. Mr. Najarian.
Thank you, board. Thank you, chair, members, Mr. Sohikian. It's a pleasure to be up here. I was in Mr. Graves' spot at my desk, usually having lunch when I would zoom into your meetings. But let me give you a brief update on what's going on at Metro. It's not going to be too technical. I will then turn it over to Hillary, our Metrolink new chief of security, for whom I think you may have some questions. So Metro had a workshop not too long ago, focusing on the budget. And we discovered that our budget is in really bad shape. It's in bad shape for two reasons. Number one, our sales tax revenues are dipping from what we expected in Measure R and Measure M. We also have a big appetite at Metro for huge mega projects, the Sepulveda Pass corridor, extension of the Crenshaw line into West Hollywood, many other large projects, the East Side extension. These are big projects, and as you can imagine, there are strong advocates for each and every one of those. Did I mention the Southeast Gateway line, for whom Janice Hahn is a very strong advocate? So we've got a shortcoming looking forward in capital improvements. We also are going to be constrained in our operations. As we try to expand our operations, as we put some of these new projects online, we need money to operate them. And it's a constraint that we have. Right now, almost all of our discretionary funds are going to operations. So Metro is going to be going through some deep soul searching. And I think members of the board were aware of that we're going to have to really be real tight with our budget to get through at least the next 3-4 years. Outreach for the SR-14 came to us on a capital project. Staff said it's going very well, strongly supported by the community, and that's important because there are people down in the basin. Is that how you described it, Arthur? down in the basin who are very anti-freeway, even if it's characterized and implemented as a safety improvement. So it's very important that your communities and your board stay strong in supporting that. That's a long way towards making it a reality. Safety is looking better on Metro. We have implemented a few techniques. One of them is the metal detecting gates through most of our rail stops, rail stations. And Director Barger and I tested that out a few months ago. We also have our new police force that we're developing. We're currently searching for a chief of police. So we're going to be transitioning slowly into developing our own force and also slowly weaning off the Sheriff's Department and the LAPD. They will always be there for us when we need the critical support that only they can provide. But we're working in that direction. We also have the tap out process where not only do you have to tap in, but you have to tap to get out. So those who think they can cheat the system have an extra hurdle that they have to pass. So we're finding that that's preventing a lot of those freeloaders, if you will, troublemakers, from getting onto the system. The Olympics are coming, and Metro is working very hard to get ready for that. What they've told us is that there is going to be no parking for the public in and around the venues. And presumably, that's what LA 28 told Metro. So we're really working hard on creating these transit hubs in important communities. And I presume there'll be at least one, maybe two, in the Antelope Valley where the transit stations will be available and they will be providing transportation to the venues. Now, they're not just transit hubs, but it also gives the communities an opportunity to create fan zones where it's an outdoor or perhaps indoor, if necessary, watch party, where there's going to be food and entertainment and vendors, as well as a transportation hub to take you to the venues. And we saw that in Paris, and it worked very well. It was very exciting. For those that can't afford a ticket to get to the games, this is a great alternative to getting that Olympic spirit behind you. Okay, there's something, maybe I'm stepping on the legislative branch. The update by Mr. Hamparian or Mike Turner. But something has come up that I think is very important that we all need to weigh in on, and that is a bill by Senator Ben Allen to increase the size of the Metro Board, as if we're not big already with 13. As you recall, the voters of LA County decided to go to 9 supervisors in the near future, 2032, I believe, as well as a executive. So Ben Allen's bill says we want to give all those supervisors, all 9 of them, a seat on the Metro Board, plus the executive director, plus 3 appointees of the executive director. So what this is going to do, I fear, and many others fear, and Metro fears, is that it's going to severely dilute the voice of the independent cities, of which most of you here are members of. We are opposing that. Metro is opposing that. It's just a bad idea. The Metro Board then would have 21 members, which would be very difficult to manage. We're hoping that Ben Allen sees the, sees the light. The light bulb goes off over his head and realizes it's not a very good idea. I'm not sure who's putting him up to it because it really is not a great idea. Of course, the city of LA is going to say, well, if the county is going to have 9, 10, 13 seats, then we want to increase our membership too. So we're going to end up with a board of close to 30, and it's just going to be totally unworkable. And the last thing is I do want to thank members here who did support me for the Metro nomination a few months ago. And as I promised, I did make my official announcement at Glendale City Council that I will not be seeking re-election to Glendale Council. I was selected mayor. Wasn't easy. Nothing is easy in Glendale. But I hope that all your communities begin to think about the selection process. I think my last day is going to be sometime in June. I'd like to see representation by the Antelope Valley.
Oh,
you're getting tricky. No, next year. Next year, it's June. June of 26. That's when my term expires. So I want you to know I kept my promise and my representation to all of you. And I'm going to turn this over now to Metrolink's new chief of security.
I have a question first.
Yes.
You're moving from sheriffs to police?
We're moving from our tripartite agreement, which is with Long Beach Police, LAPD, and sheriffs. We're going to wean them down, and we're going to build up our own metro police force.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the real reason is we felt that going to our own police force is going to bring greater responsibility to those officers. We can give immediate direction to them. A lot of times, we heard from the sheriffs and LAPD, it's like, you guys worry about keeping the trains running. We'll worry about how to do policing. And it just, we just felt it was time to go to a unified command where if we want to place officers in a certain location, they will do it and there's really no issue. They'll start to feel like they're part of the Metro family with the overall goal of reducing crime on the entire system.
Cost?
Well, our initial studies show it's going to cost less than the tripartite system, mainly due to a lot of less overtime expenses that get passed through to us when the bills come due. So we'll see how it is. The goal, as I said, is to have a safer system and have direct responsibility by our law enforcement officers. Yes, it's going to take a while. It's very difficult to hire police officers to get up to the force that we need, which is at least 200, I heard. And it's gonna take a while. So we're going to slowly transition.
Why do you say it's difficult to hire them?
Nobody wants to be an officer anymore, unfortunately. My son became an officer, but not with Metro. But it's not like it used to be. It's really difficult to get them, select them, train them, keep them in the system, and then place them. Glendale is difficult also as we try to increase only by 25 more officers. It is difficult. It is difficult to find the right person. It's an extensive process until you even get into the academy. After that, there is a melting of the number of recruits who graduate, and then they have to like the job once they start it and stick to it. So, we do. So we have several layers. We've got armed security. We've got the law enforcement officers currently. We'll be replacing those with Metro. Then we have armed security, like the Allied Barton company, the private security. Yes, exactly. So we've got those with weapons, those without weapons, and then we've got the ambassadors, which are really ambassadors of goodwill, helping people out. But it turns out that they're having a very strong impact, a presence on the system. Bad guys see that there's someone there who's going to be seeing what's going on, even though they don't have a gun, but they have a radio and they're able to call for help or something. Unfortunately, they're not. And in fact, the armed security guards can't make arrests. So when something happens, they have to call a law enforcement officer to actually make the arrest. So it causes some delays and some, slow down in the enforcement. No, they cannot arrest unless they see it, and do a citizen's arrest. But typically it's reported to them. They see, someone, the suspect, they call in. And the arrest is. Well, we're things are getting better, though. Things, I must say that things are improving. So we're moving in the right direction, and we're happy about that. Okay, Hillary.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd just like to introduce myself again. My name is Hillary Kanzel. I'm the new Chief Safety, Security, and Compliance Officer with MetroLink. So if you could hear me. As I was saying, been here a little bit over 2 months, 2.5 months. Came here from Chicago, worked with Metra in Chicago for 33 years, retired from there, and I was lucky enough to get this opportunity. So I'm grateful to be here. A lot of people don't realize how much of a leader that MetroLink is and the West Coast with the rail infrastructure, whether it's Metro, you know, MetroLink, what have you. You guys have always been a first in the industry, you know, especially with PTC moving forward, electrification of Caltrain, you know. So I'm very proud to be here. I've worked within the industry for a long time and actually went very far back working with MetroLink under APTA, which is the American Public Transportation Association. So just to give you a little bit, I know there's some challenges. I wanted to come in and introduce myself, but also, you know, hear what you guys have, because I'm still learning the system. I'm still learning the challenges, not only within MetroLink, but within the, you know, the area, the geographical area that we operate in, which is actually the third largest in the country. Passenger volume, Metra is the third largest, but geographically, MetroLink is the largest, you know, rail agency within the country. So that's a challenge in itself, response time, you know, getting, you know, when there is an issue, getting, you know, police involved right away to mitigate that issue. So that's what I'm looking at working on there. Over the weekend, I had an opportunity because I'm the only one here. My family's still in Chicago. I took the AVL line just to, as a passenger. Nobody knew who I was. And, you know, I looked at some of the, you know, fare collection and that sort of thing. So I got some things I want to look at. But, you know, we have started streetcarring operations at Union Station. We have increased the number of streetcarring operations on Union Station for the Antelope Valley line, which has actually brought down a lot of assaults, fare evasions, that sort of thing. Because if you don't have a ticket, when you pass the ramp to go up to the train, you don't get on. So we've eliminated a lot of the bad actors, so to speak. So they're not getting on the train. They're not causing issues en route and that sort of thing. So that's helped a lot. We've also started those same operations at Lancaster about 2 weeks ago. So we're, you know, monitoring that, kind of hoping that will help as well. There's a lot of things that we do. We look at, we're data driven, you know, we look at it in real time so we could adjust how we, you know, operate and respond to certain incidents. But, you know, with that, I think that I wanted to open it up to everybody here, if anybody had questions. Yeah, and we're actually working with Metro at Union Station. They got a grant to upgrade the whole camera system, which will include AI, all the back end analytics. They'll be able to identify if somebody has a gun, if they, you know, if they're, you know, acting erratic, and then send an alert to the SOC, the Security Operations Center. Yeah, so we don't have cameras on MetroLink vehicles or MetroLink cars. So that would be, we're looking at grants to get that funding for those that purpose. But that is actually a very, I mean, that's something that's necessary down the road. The policing model that we have not increased staffing of the police in over 8 to 10 years. So while, you know, times have changed and crime has gone up, homelessness has gone up, we have not increased the resources necessary to respond. So if we decrease it anymore, I'm afraid that incidents will increase. So, yeah.
Any other questions?
I mentioned this after.
So we're doing streetcarring for all lines, but we're focusing on the lines that are mostly abused. So like the Antelope Valley line and some other lines that we target more than others, I should say, just because of the problems.
You haven't added more people in the last 8 years?
About that. I'm still going through. There's a lot of data and information that I'm still going through, but yeah.
Can I ask why?
I don't have that answer.
From him.
I've only been here 2.5 months. I think it may have been budgetary.
Losses are sitting there.
Didn't move fast enough. The question was why we didn't add more staffing for security.
We've been complaining for the last 10 years, and he's saying for the last 8 years, you haven't added anybody. I know that you've taken them from Santa Clarita, put them into AV, but you haven't increased them, and the question is why.
So as I observe and as I've heard, the main issue is a lot of homeless that are jumping on or maybe being encouraged from Union Station to come up and end of the line towns, get stuck with all that. What Metro is doing is trying to, at Union Station, be more proactive in getting those people off the entire system and getting them the help that they actually need. So it's not a matter of law enforcement. I mean, if a sheriff is on there and he sees someone who may have a ticket, a valid ticket, there's not much that we can do. If there is no ticket. But a lot of what I have heard is that these people are getting tickets. People are buying them that one-way ticket out of Union Station just to get them out of the downtown area.
Or they're being given tickets.
Or given tickets.
Mark, can I just, I think it'd be helpful because you're talking law enforcement. They also have, you have increased security. And the whole issue is around fair enforcement. So I think it'd be important for us to get a breakdown because security enhances the law enforcement. So they did not increase law enforcement. They did increase the security contract. So I think it'd be helpful to get a breakdown on that, Marv, to your point. And then also, I just want to point out something he said, sorry, Ar. And that is preventing them from getting on the platform. That's important because once they get on the platform, they jump on the train. And so these are things that we're learning from Metro because we've seen crime go down on Metro by doing fair enforcement. We all know that if you are paying on the line, you're less likely to be someone who is less likely, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, that's going to commit a crime. So we'll get you a breakdown of that because I want to make sure that he does a thorough. The difference between Metrolink and Metro is Metrolink actually recognizes that fair enforcement is vital and that law enforcement plays a role, whereas Metro hasn't quite figured that out yet, but they will.
Oh, and that's a good point. And the other thing that I want to touch on is, you know, we have 42 MOUs with the cities that we operate through. I've gone through all of those MOUs. And we need to have more cooperation and collaboration with the police departments that we, you know, that or with the cities that we travel through. And that's my goal and my focus is to start reaching out to those organizations and partner with them to, you know, respond and help us and we'll help them. So there's a lot of opportunities that may have not been, you know, looked at previously.
Thank you. We totally appreciate this, and I think the public needs to hear about the progress that we're hoping to make regarding safety, because that's one of the main things that we hear. People don't even want to get on anymore. Although I've traveled the Metrolink and haven't seen too much except for people sleeping and snoring, and hopefully that will end. But what did you call it? Street carding.
So what that carring? Yeah, street carding. And what that is before the passengers get on the train, we will have armed security. They'll check their tickets. They'll, you know, work with the conductor to make sure that they have fare to get past the ramp to go up to the platform. And if they don't, they don't get access to the platform to get on the train. So, and what we've done is we've done a lot of research and analyzed a lot of the data that we have, and we've identified that 50% of the people that don't have fare and get on the train, those are the ones that are causing the conductor assaults and you know, disturbances and that sort of thing. So we've been able to decrease a lot of that. So, for example, you know, fare evasion is down 46% over last year for the same time period. You know, we've been able to realize that, you know, unruly passengers are down 34%. So it is working. We just have to, we're just kind of identifying where we need the resources to manage that.
Well, who would be in charge? Is that Metrolink that needs to put the word out there, or who's going to do that? Metrolink? Because the public needs to hear this.
Yeah, so we've just actually been identifying or going over these are new numbers. So, because we just started the street carring operations in October of 24. So we're looking at the data now and trying to identify the actual, you know, positive numbers that we've had. But we've had shared that with the board meeting at the last board meeting that we did have.
Okay, well, that's good. Who do we talk to make sure we get the board to put out the word? Who puts out the word? Mr. Najar.
It would be our communications department primarily, and the rest of the directors to, as they report back to their communities, to let them know this problem.
Okay.
I think they're going to roll something out.
Yeah.
You're putting it together now.
Correct.
But I'll let you know.
Okay.
They're going to make it known to the public, especially all.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Correct. Yeah, we just started that. We just started the streetcar operations 2 weeks ago. So we've seen, you know, positive improvement there. We're going to continue that. And then once, you know, it takes a while to get the actual numbers and the feedback from the efforts.
Well, they used to. When I would get on the train few years ago, they would check to make sure that you had your ticket at the, then they stopped doing that.
Right.
So now, I mean, and you see what's happened. So I'm glad that's back.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
One more question. What's going to happen when they start moving the homeless because of the Olympics?
So that's what we're working on right now. So there's a lot of moving pieces to that, because for us, we actually have weekly right of way. I don't want to say we remove them weekly because it's a hazard. It's a safety issue. You know, we have homeless people walking back and forth on the tracks. So what we do is every Monday we'll go out, the LA County Sheriff's Department will go out, provide them with a 72-hour eviction notice. And then on Thursday, our maintenance team with LA County Sheriff's Department, the ones that don't move, we move them. Right now we're looking at ways to prevent them from coming back, but it's kind of tough. And a lot of the other issues that we've seen is with the UP and the BN, we operate on some of their tracks, and they're not attacking the, you know, they're not removing the homeless as much as us. So it's a challenge because they're right now they're worried about the containers being broken into. That's where they're, you know, putting their police efforts at.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it.
And then just so if you're you know, I don't have my cards yet because there was a printing error, but if you want, I can give you my phone number. If there's any
Please.
Problem, call me. I'd rather find about it earlier than later. I, you know, I don't want to wait for a meeting a month down the road to find out there's a problem. So
can you give it to Arthur so he can get
it? Yeah, I'll provide it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, so back to the consent calendar, Madam Chair. So we had, I believe it was the law enforcement on the consent calendar and the Metro legislative updates were the two items at okay. this point, item 7 and item 11.
Yes, let's go to item number. Rainy?
I have a question. I was just curious, do we have any water to fix?
For the weekend. I'll get those for you. Sure.
Let's approve all these except 7-11. Then we'll come back.
Okay. At this point, no. Not at this point.
Okay, Arthur, let's go ahead and approve then the
yes.
The consent except for
7 and 11.
And 11.
Motion to approve 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. And 12.
Oh, that's a regular item, so. So we have a motion by Vice Chair Chris and a second by Ms. Barger to approve the consent calendar minus items 7 and 11.
Okay. Item number 12, your update.
That's on consent.
That's on consent.
Yeah, we're gonna cover the yeah, items, okay. The 14 and the okay. Yes.
Okay, roll call.
You can do it by voice. We're okay. Here in person.
With no objections. So ordered.
Thank you. Okay. So item number 7, Madam Chair, would be the law enforcement updates.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Lieutenant Timothy Jacobson. I am the field operations officer here in the Antelope Valley CHP office, along with the incoming commander, Lieutenant Jim Richards. We just want to kind of give you an update on what we're seeing in regards to the 14 and our total picture, our crash picture. Currently, since January of 2025 to current date, we've had 209 crashes along that corridor. Of course, majority of them are during the weekdays, during the morning commute. We're contributing some of that. Most of the crashes are occurred because of speeding and improper turning, but we believe the construction obviously has some impact on that, as everybody knows. So our staffing levels remain about the same. We're about down 5 officer positions right now that we're currently trying to fill. We've got 3 cadets coming out of training, hopefully to us soon. So that'll approve the numbers for us. And that's all we got to report.
Any questions for anyone? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And good afternoon, folks. Sergeant Gerald Martinez with the Santa Clarita Valley Sheriff Station. So reporting our total collisions, we are down 13% at 326 collisions, down from 374 for last year. Our injury collisions are down 14%, down to 118 from 137. Our DUI collisions are down 9% from 19 to 20, from down 9%, 19 as opposed to 21. Our DUI arrests are pretty notable. They've actually increased 126%. We've had 68 DUI arrests the last 3 months versus 30 before, and that's a result of having multiple personnel trained in advanced roadside impaired driving enforcement classes. Our citations, unfortunately, are down 17% from 2,978 to where they were 3,600 before. That's due to the Eaton fire, the Palisades fire. We've also had a couple of motorcycle officers out IOD over the last couple months, one of which is our highest producer. So that's where we're hurting there. Our non-injury collisions are also down 12%, down to 206 versus 235. And lastly, our fatal collisions is up one by one from three as opposed to two of last year. And that's all I have with regards to any other questions.
Okay, thank you so much.
So with that, I'll resort to my my new acting captain here.
Hi, everybody. Brandon Barclay, functioning as the acting captain. And to answer Ms. Barger's question, we're functioning at exactly 70%. So we have 257 budgeted at the total station, and we're down three lieutenants, seven sergeants, 12 bonus deputies, which include field training officers and detectives, and 43 deputies and 13 professional staff. Our folks are continuing to do a tremendous job, though, in our Part 1 crime, specifically in Santa Cruz, are down 21%. Public safety is a huge concern of ours, and we have a great collaboration with the city and other stakeholders. So rest assured that we're going to keep up the good fight, right? It's running lean. As you know, the sheriff put out a report. We're down 1,400 sworn vacancies overall. Recruitment and retention efforts are going on. They're an ongoing basis. We're in trying to enhance those. I came up with the clever idea the other day of collaborating with the LA Kings. We've got folks down there. We had a very successful recruitment campaign with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You remember that? A very tremendous video. And we had a spike in our recruitment efforts. As you know, 2020, post-2020, with concerns against and optics with law enforcement, post-COVID, you had the George Floyd incident. There's a lot of resignations, a lot of retirements, and additionally, a lot of challenges with recruitment, trying to get qualified personnel for the position. Law enforcement's not going to lower its standard, because what you don't want is the bad apples. And then those folks have some power. They have a badge and a gun. That's, you try to nip it in the forefront. So appreciate your understanding on that. So the last numbers, it'd be about out of every 100, Ms. Berlin, every 100, we'd be about four. And then there's the trickle down by the time they get through the academy and these things, which it's extensive training and it is difficult. It would be three out of 100 approximately. So, well, it's actually a nationwide issue. You know, it's basically overall climate concerns and sentiment in law enforcement. And that's according to the International Association of Chiefs of Police and the Executive Review Forums, that nationwide recruitment is down. And if you ask any executive on this department, or not just our department, nationwide, staffing is their biggest challenge. Okay, thank you for the feedback, and I'm just trying to...
I agree with you about the George Floyd. That's what started the whole movement as far as defund the police. That's what started all that stuff nationally, so that's what's taken it all down from. So I agree with your analogy.
Thank you, both your gentlemen, for the feedback. Thank you. You know, to your point, the gentleman that's the chief of the Metro indicated that a lot of this is relying on grants to get the money to sequester, to put in this artificial intelligence and these cameras that you have suggested. You know, and we're waiting to see if there's going to be an executive pullback with funding for the for grants. I've authored grants myself to enhance technology for this very city and for the department, including a productivity investment proposal that's on the desk to enhance traffic safety, and also a grant from congressional grants for deputies to have tools. So I understand the importance of having grants right now. The 27th district just did their grant request. So agencies will have an opportunity. I will collaborate with Metro and forward them that link. The deadline is the 26th. You know, that's something that we're, it's important to get the funding for, you know. No, I appreciate your innovative ideas, and we already talked about the Metro on the other agenda, but it should be noted that there's approximately 800 homeless folks that live on that train every night. That's important to know. And it takes a multi-layered approach with enforcement. It takes not just enforcement, but you have to do the offered the wraparound services to try to solve the problem. You know, otherwise, by default, our jails become the mental health institutions. You know, there's approximately, out of our jail count, 12,400 inmates. It's actually 12,800 inmates. About 5,000 of those folks have a mental health issue. So it's very important to provide the wraparound service as well. And I do appreciate your innovative ideas and understand the importance of technology, which... No, thank you. And, you know, technology is a piece of 21st century policing, consistent with the DOJ task force in 2016 put out by President Obama. So thank you. I appreciate your feedback. All right.
Thank you so much. And just know that here in the North County, you and the officers and the men and women who are in law enforcement have our 100% support. And just wish it was more widespread.
Appreciate the continued support and collaboration, Ms. McLean. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm the operations captain of Palmdale Sheriff Station, Joshua Barden, reporting on the first quarter of 2025. Traffic collisions were basically flat compared to last year, 448 last year to 450 this year. Fatalities are up 400%, 1 to 5. We had two mini bike deaths as well as a pedestrian in the roadway death. Injury collisions are about the same, up 11%, 156 to 173. And non-injury collisions are down a bit, 7% from 291 to 272. Traffic citations were hindered just like the other stations related to the Eaton and Palisades fires. We're down 29% right now, but if you would look at last year's traffic enforcement index at 16.4, that's not the normal for us. We're usually around 13. So I would say roughly we should be around 2,500 right now. We're going to get those numbers back up in the next month or two. We too are impaired by some vacancies and other factors. We're down 29 deputy sheriff positions right now at Palmdale Sheriff Station, as well as 24 impairments when it relates to sworn personnel. That would be anything from persons being injured, light duty, and or being off FMLA with their children. To the council members, council member Bishop's point, technology is a big thing for the sheriff's department, especially at our station. We created what's called a virtual deputy. We've had it in place for the last 4 months now. cost savings of about $13,000. We've written 160 reports off of it so far, as well as another 60 detailed log clearances from calls. Basically, members of the public can reach us via a form. They'll submit their name. They get an automatic booking link in which they're able to basically schedule like a telehealth for cops. We just recently built this out for Lancaster Station, and I believe they'll be launching that any day now. We also have a Spanish-speaking version that we'll be launching in May, as well as it looks like we've gotten the approval to pilot this program as well throughout the county and three other patrol divisions at one station each. So I think the wave of the future for law enforcement, to a lot of respects, is using these technologies. We're using basically Microsoft app suites, cost $0 for us. We built it out at Palmdale. So looking forward to seeing that opportunity and making that grow. And then that frees up your deputy sheriffs to be out there visible, present, combating crime, and not sitting at a call for service just taking a whodunit report. Any questions?
Nice job.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
We're on item seven. So Jason, were you wanting to speak on item seven?
Lancaster City was so successful, and your city police department, is there anything you can do to help the sheriff department? You guys had 146 applications for six positions. You guys had 417 applicants for motor officer positions. So what did you guys do to fill all your positions so successfully? And the other thing I would like you guys to think about is we need more community and American pride in Antelope Valley, like we had in the 1980s. People used to have American flags hanging off their houses. I mean, it was a great time to live in Antelope Valley. We felt very Americanized. I think that would help in recruiting efforts. If we put more American flags, street poles and stuff like that, especially during Memorial weekend till 4th of July. That's it.
Thank you. Any other comments on number seven?
Okay. Don't see. I think we have one more. Yes, go ahead, Sheriff.
Can you
hear me? I just want to make sure my
yes,
mic is working.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to let the commission know that I could not hear the questions. I could only hear Vice Mayor Chris when he was asking questions on my end here.
So, Mr. Bartlett, if you wanted to provide any of your report, go right ahead, sir.
Okay, definitely. So unfortunately, Sergeant Wesley Clark couldn't be with us today, but I want to just talk a little bit. I know there's some difficulty in pulling some of the statistics because of implementation of a new grant program that we have here at Lancaster. And that is really about updating the Crossroads traffic reporting and analytics of traffic data software here at the station and actually department-wide. And back in 2023, one of our very own sergeant at the time, Sergeant Mike Politano, now currently a lieutenant here in Lancaster, obtained a grant from the Office of Traffic Safety in the state of California. And it's a $1.5 million grant really to upgrade and update our traffic software, not just at Lancaster, but really department-wide. We received board approval for the grant acceptance in September of 2024. And we're now in the process of obtaining and purchasing the equipment for the stations. And additionally, starting here at Lancaster just this last week in updating the Crossware data software system. And what really that's going to do a lot for Lancaster is it's going to upgrade, put us into the ability to use, we have iPads and printers and mobile ticket writers in the field. It's going to provide 25 iPads for Lancaster and 25 mobile ticket writers. But in addition to that's going to go across the county. It'll provide also the same amount for Palmdale, Santa Clarita, West Hollywood, Malibu, Lost Hills, Avalon, Century, Compton, East LA, Marina Del Rey, South LA, Carson, Cerritos, Lakewood, Lomita, Norwalk, Pico Rivera, and going down to Altadena, Crescenta Valley Industries, San Dimas, Temple, and Walnut Diamond Bar. So the entire county is going to benefit from this grant program that was initiated here in Lancaster. And really what we're looking for in that is the ability to enhance our ticket writing here at Lancaster and countywide, making it more efficient. And in our estimates, we're looking at it's going to save about 10,000 man hours a year in report writing alone, because you will be able to write all your reports, traffic reports, on the systems, on the pads, on the iPads, and on computer computers at the station for any traffic deputy or anybody that takes a traffic collision report. So I think we're really looking forward to this program. The implementation now currently starting at Lancaster right now and going countywide within the next few weeks. Real quick, I'll go into, was able to obtain some of the statistics for us. It's really going to be more raw data than percentage based for the year. And what I was able to kind of pull off the system this morning, in this period so far year to date, total collisions of 410 at Lancaster through March. If we look at last year, we had a total of 2,058. And I really just kind of divided them up, not percentage wise, but that was an average of 514 per quarter. So we're slightly down, almost 100 traffic collision reports or total collisions in this quarter. Total collision fatalities were at 4 this year. And last year, we had an average of 6 during this quarter. Total collisions involving injury were currently at 191, and we averaged 242 last year per quarter. Total collisions involving property damage were at 215, and we averaged 242 at this quarter last year. Total collisions involving property damage, 215, and we averaged 266 this time last year. Total DUI collisions, we currently have 25 year to date, and we averaged 29 per quarter last year. If you look at DUI arrests, we have currently have 113 this period, and we averaged 105 per quarter last year. Total citations this year, we're at 602, and we averaged last year 665 per quarter. And that is slightly down, specifically, just like Captain Barden said, due to the issues with the fires and those resources that were, you know, down at the fires in those areas where they were needed. But we're really looking forward to the implementation of virtual deputy here at Lancaster, which is starting this week, using some of those deputy sheriffs that are in positions that they can't be out in the field, either light duty or can't drive. And they will kind of man and staff that virtual deputy position to take reports online via virtual, via screen. In addition to raising our traffic enforcement index, our traffic enforcement index is currently at 2.6, where it was 2.2 last year. And a lot of that, again, is due to the impairments at the motor deputy position for Lancaster. We have two currently out light duty, and hopefully to have them back within the next 1 to 2 months. So hopefully see a dramatic increase in our citations. And with the addition of the mobile citation writers, that also help the deputies out in the field to write the citations. Any questions?
Do you have any questions?
I'm just curious, the sheriff's deputies, when they're riding the Metrolink trains, they ride for free, correct, if they're in uniform? Is that correct? So maybe you could run it up the flagpole for extra security on the trains. Is that, talk to Sean Kehoe about maybe encouraging your deputies to ride the trains, and if they see something, say something, because it's, they would be riding the trains, maybe a way to get some extra security on them. Just a thought.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I believe that's all for item 7. I don't think
yes.
We have, yes. So item, consent item number 11.
Motion to approve 7.
Second.
Do I see any objections? No objections. So ordered. Thank you. Thank you. Just going to do both.
So item number 7, we have the Metro Legislative Update. I believe it'll be Mr. Rafi Hamparian on the federal update and Ms. Madeline Moore on the state update. Rafi?
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good to be with you today. Rafi Hamparian, Metro Federal Affairs. Four issues I wanted to touch on today, a couple that are remarkably timely. Let me start off with the biggest item, and that is what we believe to be the date for the release of the president's federal fiscal year 2026 budget. This is the document that will be issued by the Office of Management and Budget and will provide sharp insight into how the administration plans to fund the federal government for the coming year, including the USDOT. So one of the things we'll be looking carefully at is whether the funding levels and the programs supported are either consistent with the bipartisan infrastructure law that was adopted back in 2021, or if the president and his DOT team will be releasing a different vision for transportation spending. That document we expect to be released in or around May 20th. So I'd watch that very carefully. Related to the president's budget being released sometime in May is the congressionally funded projects project process. And that basically, for those who follow, they're called community project funding in the House. That is basically what they used to refer to as earmarks. In the North County, Congressman Whitesides has set April 25th, this Friday, as a deadline to secure both individual requests for community project funding and for programmatic requests. April 25th is the deadline, and I encourage any entity, organization that is seeking community project funding to meet the deadlines. Generally, members in Los Angeles County and across the nation, they're pretty strict with deadlines because they then have to report to the House Committee on Appropriations, and they try to hit all their deadlines. So that's the second issue. That's community project funding. The third issue relates to the Surface Transportation Authorization Bill. And in addition to the budget, which is a big deal, the nation's next Surface Transportation Authorization Bill will begin being crafted in the next couple of months. The current bill, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, expires in September of 2026. Just as community project funding requests are being solicited, members of Congress will solicit ideas from their constituents for the next Surface Transportation Authorization Bill. In Los Angeles County, we have three members of the House who are on the Committee on Transportation. They are newly elected Congresswoman Laura Friedman, Congressman Robert Garcia from the Long Beach area, and a longtime member of Congress, Brownlee, who represents a portion of Los Angeles County and also much of Ventura County. So that bill you should see in the coming months, hearing after hearing after hearing, and then we'll see when they get to mark up the bill. But I would watch that very, very carefully. And then the last item I had, Madam Chair, is that the DOT is going through a process of a reduction in force. And so we're very fortunate to have very talented members of the DOT, both at headquarters in Washington, D.C., and in their regional offices for the FHWA and for the FTA. And the expectation is that the administration has offered, whether you refer to it as early retirement or an option to get benefits for a certain determined amount of time if they decide to leave the department. And so that should be occurring in the next week or so. And so I think that's something to, that we'll be watching. We obviously enjoy a very strong relationship with the federal government. We look forward to continuing that with Secretary Duffy and the modal administrators. And so, we look forward to working with the folks who are on the team to make sure that we make mobility our number one priority in Los Angeles County. So the president's budget, May 20th, community project funding, deadlines imminent. Number three, big surface transportation bill, probably the biggest thing that occurs every 5 or 6 years. So watch that very carefully. And lastly, You know, the administration's making some personnel changes to the USDOT, and I think that bears watching. With that, I'll conclude my remarks, and I'm happy to convey the mic, so to speak, Madam Chair, to my colleague, Madeline Moore, if you're amenable to that.
Are there any questions for Rafi? Thank you very much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, everyone. Madeline Moore, LA Metro Government Relations, focusing on state affairs, Rafi's counterpart here. Wanted to touch on two major things. First, wanted to touch on the budget process, what we've been hearing about that in Sacramento, and then wanted to highlight a few bills that Metro is closely following, including the one that Director Najarian had mentioned earlier. So Metro has submitted a budget letter to the leadership and the governor's office. We are advocating for the maintaining of SB 125 funding in this budget year. That would complete Metro's funding of the Gold Line extension and would also provide $200 million in funding for the Southeast Gateway Line. In addition, we are supporting the requests from Senator Aragueen and Assemblymember Mark Gonzalez to provide $2 billion in one-time statewide funding to support transit operations while ensuring that those statewide funds are equitably distributed. Now, looking at long-term solutions, we're also looking at the equitable extension of cap and trade. Some recent news is that Governor Newsom and the legislature recently responded to a federal executive order by announcing that they will seek the extension of California's cap and trade legislation this year. Just as a refresher, the program is currently set to expire in 2030, and the governor has noted that extending the program as soon as this year can provide the market with greater certainty while continuing to reach the state's goal of carbon neutrality by 2045. Again, really focusing on that equitable statewide distribution of that funding. The other long-term funding solution we are looking at is a $20 billion statewide transportation bond. That's something that, you know, our board had asked us to look into when we brought our state legislative agenda to the board last December. We were able to secure an author. The bill is AB 939 by Assemblymember Schultz. The bill has been referred to the Assembly Committee on Transportation, though unfortunately a hearing has not yet been scheduled. There's been some concerns about affordability during this difficult budget year in Sacramento, and we're not sure if that bill is moving forward this year. We'll continue to work with the author's office and move the idea of a statewide transit bond moving forward to address the long-term funding solutions for transportation. And then finally, I wanted to touch on SB 220 by Senator Allen, that Director Najarian mentioned earlier. What if this bill were to pass beginning on January 1st, 2029, it would expand the Metro Board of Directors to 18 members, including one non-gubernatorial appointee, so for a total of 19. It would include the county executive that would be elected in November of 2028 and three public members appointed by that county executive. The bill also expands the Metro Board to include each member of the Board of Supervisors. That's pursuant to the County Measure G approved by voters in 2024. And because of that, the Board of Supervisors is expanding to 9 members in 2032. Therefore, the final composition of the Metro Board under SB 220 would reach 22 members, 21 of which would be voting members. Metro has standing policy to oppose any board restructuring bills in Sacramento. So we have sent in a letter of opposition to this bill. This is very timely discussion. The bill is set to be heard in Senate Transportation on April 28th. I know there has been a number of concerns locally, particularly from the Councils of Government executive directors. So wanted to share with you that Metro is opposed to the bill. We believe there is currently already a process that is in state law that takes into consideration a change in the number of the Board of Supervisors, that what is currently required in state law is that once the number of the Board of Supervisors were to expand, which per Measure G would happen in 2032, Metro would within 60 days submit to the legislature a plan for board composition. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Yes.
Madam Chair, members, I think it's important that perhaps the NCTC take a position on this Allen bill. It's been coming under our attention this past week. It will have a hearing on Wednesday. You heard Mr. Najarian talk about it. I know Ms. Barger and the Metro Board have opposed that. Again, it's an Allen bill, SB 220. So if you'd like to have a motion on that to oppose it, I do know several of the other COGs are doing that.
I was just writing down a list of issues that we might want to take positions on, and that was one of them.
Okay.
So we can do that now if you would like to see, is there a motion to take a position of opposition to this SB 220 bill?
I'll move to oppose.
Thank you. Do we need a roll call vote on this one?
No, you could do it by voice.
Okay. Any opposition to... Well, it sounds pretty bad to me with just what we've heard, but that's okay. Thank you. Got it.
Do you want to put it over till the next meeting?
There's a hearing Wednesday.
Yeah,
the hearing's on Monday, April 28th, and the deadline to submit letters of opposition or support is noon on Wednesday.
Okay, well, that's okay. We still have the majority here. Okay. Thank you on that. Okay, so we are going to send a letter regarding that bill.
In opposition to SB 220. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything else?
Motion to approve 11.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any objection? Okay, no objection. So ordered.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mandel. On to item 14, Madam Chair, on the regular calendar.
Got it. Okay. Who is reporting on this?
Paul Hubler from Metrolink. Item 14. Is the Metrolink Antelope Valley Line Capital Projects update, and Paul Hubler will be presenting. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Arthur. And I have some slides.
Yeah,
I don't know if
you mean I can't move them quickly like that. So as you're introducing it,
no problem. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Paul Hubler, Chief Strategy Officer from Metrolink. That entails overseeing grants, government relations, planning and development. For Metrolink Rail. As you know, Metrolink, in partnership with Metro, has spent the past several years advancing. A little hard to see these projects, but to suffice to say, it's a program of four projects that are intended to improve capacity and service along the Antelope Valley line. Three of the projects are being led by Metrolink, the first three, and the final one, Brighton to McGinley, is being led by LA Metro. The benefits are crucial for these projects. Together, the four projects would allow 60-minute service between LA Union Station and Lancaster, and 30-minute service between Union Station and Santa Clarita. Project design has progressed well, but construction cost estimates have increased as designs have been refined, and due in part to pandemic-related construction escalation that's been seen across the industry since the pandemic. If we could go to the next slide, Arthur. As shown here, these are the three projects that are being led by Metrolink. And as you can see, the design is at 90 to 100% design under review for Canyon and for the Balboa Double Track. For Lancaster, we're at 90% design under, which is under review. Securing design review with the various stakeholders utility relocation. And then, and this is key, there's elements of right-of-way acquisition that have to be negotiated with Union Pacific as well for the Lancaster project, which is an end-of-the-line project. And then the key, really the bottom line here, is the current cost estimate, as I mentioned, has increased. It's now at that 491, just shy of $500 million for the four projects. The funding secured, and this is a combination of state TIRCP, transit and intercity capital rail improvement program funds from the state, as well as measure sales tax measure funds that are committed by this body for the project. We have a total of almost $11 million. The current shortfall is $280 million, which is a significant shortfall. But I think there's a very promising opportunity that I'm here to inform you of on the next slide. And that is this CMAC. It stands for, it's the Federal Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Program and the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. These are federal funds that are allocated by formula to regions that are not in compliance with Federal Clean Air Act requirements. And Southern California, unfortunately, is such a region, but we do have funds that are made available by the federal government for award within the air quality basin. And it's a total of $1.2 billion between those two programs available over two federal fiscal years. LA County's share, it's a rough share, should be about $660 million over the 2 years for projects in Los Angeles County, with the remainder going to the other counties within the air quality basin. What we've got, what I'm showing here is the applications are due in about a month to LA Metro. LA Metro is the first receiver of these applications. They will rank the applications and forward those then to SCAG. And I think the fortunate thing about this this program in particular is that the decision is not made in Washington, D.C., where we would be competing with projects from across the country. This is really intended for Southern California. And so SCAG will make the ultimate decision later this year in November, December. The SCAG Regional Council will make that decision. The CMAC program funds projects that are intended to reduce congestion and improve air quality in regions like ours. I think, again, speaking to our advantage, both SCAG and LA Metro recognize the AVL projects as regionally significant projects with substantial emissions and congestion reduction benefits. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be competition for these funds. We're certain there will be, but I think these projects are well positioned and should be considered priorities for this funding. Key elements for award consideration include project readiness for construction. As you saw in the previous slide, these projects are well along into design. There's still right-of-way that needs to be negotiated. And because these are federal funds and these projects have previously been funded from state and local funds, we would also need to seek a NEPA clearance, so federal environmental clearance for the projects. The emissions benefits are substantial for these projects. And then there's also the point of the match. Because of the action taken by this body, as well as the award of the state funds, the minimum match for the CMAC program is just over 11%. These projects will be substantially and robustly matched with state and local funds. So we think they should compete very well. Based on project readiness, Metrolink staff is recommending that the Balboa Canyon and Brighton and McKinley projects be submitted this year. And the Lancaster project, which is a little further behind in design and has more complicated right-of-way needs, be advanced in the next cycle, which is in 2 years. So this is every 2 years, we'll have this opportunity to seek funds for these projects. We've had coordination meetings with SCAG, LA Metro staff, and your staff as well as we develop an application proposal. I'm happy to share this news. I think it's good news. It was not something we were contemplating last year. And given the amount of the budget shortfall for this, I think, but the fact that LA County alone has $660 million available to award, we feel confident that the projects should receive some funding in this latest cycle. If the projects are not awarded, and we would produce a scalable application with the three projects, they could be put into the next cycle for consideration, which is what SCAG has done previously. Again, happy to share this welcome news, and I'm available to answer questions if there are any. Yes. Yes. Yeah. There are certain restrictions on what you can use them for, but they are intended for capital projects. And I think, especially for Metrolink has plays a key role in terms of reducing congestion because it offers an alternate a choice for people to take the train rather than drive. And with that, you realize the emission benefits. And that's where I think the Metrolink, the AVL projects, I should say, would compete very well. I think the AVL projects dovetail very well with this program. And as I understood it, I think the restriction is as long as you're not building new capacity. That was one of the restrictions in there. So I think they don't. And again, this is the federal government that sets these regulations. They don't want you to build new capacity, although you could make an argument that, you know, new capacity could reduce congestion in and of itself and thus reduce emissions. Yeah, and the HOV lanes, although they are adding capacity, that may be an exception. I'm here to address the Metrolink projects, but it would be worth researching. Now the constructability, the project readiness is also very much going to be important. So the further along you are in design, the better off you are. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions on that? Okay, Dave.
Sure. You mentioned if successful, since it's federal funds, you got to go through a NEPA process. These are existing rail corridors. I know there was a full CEQA process that the agencies went through, cleared, but these projects, I believe, would probably qualify for a categorical exclusion under NEPA, right? Or would you be seeking the full-blown?
I'm not a NEPA expert, and I don't think we've determined that, but I would suspect you'd be correct, that it would be a categorical exclusion for these projects. That being said, don't underestimate the amount of time it takes to prepare even an exclusory document under the federal guidelines. So we're going to take that into account. There's cost and there's schedule implications to the NEPA clearance.
Okay. Do you have a total anticipated ask for this, or you're not there yet?
We're not there yet. We're working on that. We're going to work with your staff as well once we've identified the exact amount.
Okay. Channeling my boss here, supervisor, I just want to say thank you to both Metrolink and Metro. Our understanding is that you've had, since the past two NCTC meetings, communications with the state, CalSTA specifically. I know that she hopes that those are recurrent and in a very cooperative manner, because I think even besides this funding opportunity, there's still challenges you guys are going to work through. And she believes that they are critical piece of this puzzle with you guys to try to find whatever remaining solutions. On this effort, I know that this is unconventional as far as Metrolink projects and CMAQ. So I know that she appreciates the fact that you guys came together to find a way to advance this. And I think that she'd agree that this shows, you know, a level of commitment to this board and what, you know, we've been holding your guys' feet to the fire for a while and to the constituents, you know, because these are a lot of countywide North County MSP funds that this board prioritized for these projects. So thank you for thinking outside of the box and coming together and putting this forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. The commitment of the local funds, I think, is going to be critical for these projects.
And I would say kudos to Chair McLean, because just over the hill in her capacity on the San Fernando Valley COG, she drove an effort there to gin up support and ultimately approval for that COG to issue a letter of support for this effort. So I don't know. I yield to you if you
No, I just wanted to mention, thank you so much for this. We're looking forward to some success on this. But, you know, when I'm over the hill at different regional organizations, I'm always saying, hey, you know, we don't stop at the 514 little bridge thing there. We go all the way. And I brought it up to them that even though this is the Antelope Valley line, please don't forget that it goes through all of your cities, including the city of Los Angeles. So they did go ahead and they authorized a letter from the COG to actually prioritize the AVL line for funding for these improvements. Clear from downtown Los Angeles to Lancaster. So that's something I'm very proud of. They're finally listening. I thank them and the San Fernando Valley COG board for supporting what we want to do here. My only concern is if we bifurcate the Brighton, those projects and leave out Lancaster, do we not ask for more and then take what we can get? Why would we want to eliminate something like that?
Well, to be clear, our intent is to move Lancaster in the next funding cycle. So we would move all four, the three this year, the three with this current opportunity, and then Lancaster in 2 years.
But why not ask for everything now? I don't understand. Help me to understand why not.
I think it was an assessment of the project readiness and some concerns about the timeline for the right-of-way acquisition from Union Pacific Railroad that has, in some cases, been very complicated in other negotiations, not on the Antelope Valley line, but elsewhere where we interact with Union Pacific Railroad. They've held us, basically delayed our projects for up to 12 months. So that, I think it was that concern. We are moving forward with an evaluation of all four projects that LA Metro has retained an engineering firm to advise on, basically take a second look at all four projects and advise on the construction order of those projects, what makes sense, take a second look at what's included in there in the four projects and whether all is needed, although we have gone through a formal design review to identify costs and try to shake out as much of the cost as we can. But that the strategy is to move forward with the three and then the fourth next cycle, 2 years.
Okay. I'm wondering if we should consider doing some kind of a letter of support for the entire AVL line from downtown LA to Lancaster. To help support your efforts. Will that help you?
That would be much appreciated. Absolutely. Community support is going to be also a key evaluative criteria for these projects. And so I think the more support, the better. Yeah.
Don't you need the ABA QMD to send a letter out also for air quality?
Would that not help you in the federal fund?
Yeah, that may. I would honestly, it's a good question. I'll look into it and we'll get back to you, either you or through the staff. We're in the process, as we put together the package, we're going to be producing template letters of support that we'd be happy to distribute.
So if you support this, we could help get some support letters. So if the board were to move supporting this effort and writing letters, we would.
But I think we should only support it if it includes Lancaster. I agree with Marcia.
Well, I think what we're doing is we're supporting the entire corridor.
Right.
When they put in the application, I think we have to figure out, from what I'm hearing, the projects that are ready to go, and three projects, the Brighton, and those are all ready to go right now.
I had a question about the support. It shows, you said the funding from local entities is going to be crucial for this. Is that because these are reimbursement grants that the agencies will need to front load this somehow, and then it's all reimbursed when the job's done?
They are reimbursement grants, yes.
So who's covering what?
Well, so that's Metrolink has, as of this year, we're in the process of finalizing a capital projects fund that the member agencies have funded. And we could either, you're right, we have a variety of sources, state, local, and if we're awarded, federal. But we've also got a capital projects fund, basically a revolving fund that's intended to assist with cash flow issues on big capital projects.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, there is a local match requirement too, I believe, for this, that NCTC and the state might be able to, from past commitments, be the local match for this application.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is that a motion, Madam Chair, to support letter?
Yeah, if I need to, I'd like to make the motion that we authorize support letters for the line, you know, the AV line, to be prioritized.
Yeah, the entire line.
Yes.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any objections?
So let me just ask for public comment. We're on item number 14, the Metrolink item, on a motion from Chair McLean with a second by Vice Chair Chris to support the entire Antelope Valley line corridor from Lancaster to downtown Los Angeles.
To prioritize
funding. Yes. Are there any members of the public that want to comment? I can see several hands that are raised right now from earlier. Mr. Graves, you have 2 minutes.
Great. Thank you so much. So yeah, I'm here to talk on specifically the zero emissions pilot. I know you guys didn't talk about it here in these slides, but I know it's something you guys have been kind of working on for the last few months here. And I just wanted to touch on the main choice of locomotion between hydrogen and electrification. I personally think it's a mistake to go with hydrogen. I just want to reiterate that the feds are pulling funding from ARCHES, which is like our main research hub, to bring the price of hydrogen down, which is going to make fuel more expensive. It's also a largely unproven technology for rail-based transportation. I know it has uses elsewhere, like in agriculture and in large energy, but for transportation, it's largely unproven, and entities that have tried to implement it have run into service disruptions and cost overruns. I think that electrification via battery or overhead catenary is preferred, and it's mainly because it's cheaper fuel. We see in the Bay Area, Caltrain recently electrified, and they were able to run significantly faster local service. They shaved off 25% of their runtime because the trains accelerate faster and they're lighter. Along with that, they're a proven technology. We've been reusing electric trains for like 100 years, even in the U.S. on the East Coast, and in freight applications, it's a proven technology. And I think that it's best to bet on things that are going to yield immediate results for our communities, and also with battery electric, there's also the upgrade path from battery to overhead catenary, which is that is the gold standard internationally for transportation via rail. So yeah, thank you for the time. I appreciate it, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Mr. Zink here, and then we'll go to Ms. Rizzo online. Mr. Zink, you have 2 minutes.
Jason Zink. Just think a super commuter economic development tax incentive bill, having that zone, you don't have to create a build on the 14 freeway. You don't have to build on the Metro Link. That's the beautiful thing about this. We can do this today. We can spend the energy to get this in the tax bill today and in Sacramento. The Metrolink and building the 14 freeway does not solve the suffering problem of 2 to 5 hours of people commuting. It's just, you're not solving anything. All you're doing is adding to it. But my super commuter opportunity zone would do this. It would bring incentives for investors to invest in Antelope Valley, which creates a synergy, which creates more money, tax revenue actually for the government. That's what we need to concentrate on. The other thing was the Brightline trains are being built in New York. Why didn't we require that the trains be built in California if we're supporting it? I don't understand that. We could build them in Antelope Valley, right? The Gold Line, which is the Metro Link from Monrovia to Pomona, 13 miles, goes a little bit further than Pomona to other city, 13 miles long, $1.5 billion. Metro spent on it, and they won't give us a half a billion. That doesn't seem fair, especially when I guarantee our ridership is probably 20,000 more people, right? It's a fairness issue, but let's spend the time. If the deadline is April 25th for earmarks, maybe April 25th is a date we have to authorize one paragraph in the tax bill that says, make Palmdale, which has the highest commuter rate, highest numbers in the nation, Palmdale does. Why don't we use that to our benefit and ask for help from the federal government and California?
15 seconds, sir.
Okay. I'm just saying we're not spending our energy. We're not thinking smartly. We're adding to the chaos. Let's create less chaos and create an incentive to invest in Antelope Valley so those people don't have to commute and those families live a better life.
Sure.
Thank you.
Online, we have Ms. Rizzo.
Hi, everybody. My name's Adriana Rizzo. I'm with California for Electric Rail. I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm glad that you're moving forward with the Antelope Valley capacity improvements. These are Antelope Valley line. These are really important, and I'm really glad to see that you're continuing to move forward rather than pausing or canceling the project. And I would definitely support this funding ask that you were discussing right now. I just wanted to also highlight, that the cost of this project has increased significantly since it was first proposed, in that I would encourage the board to look into project delivery forms. One example would be SB 445, which adds timelines for utilities to respond to permits, and as well as to requires them to engage within the design process. This is currently being considered this year. I would love to see the board's support for that. Additionally, another project delivery form is bringing staff capacity in-house. This is something that LA Metro hasn't expressed an interest in increasing their ratio of staff to consultants, and I'm sort of wondering how that, if I think that's something this board should support as well, and hopefully utilize, future Metro staff when actually delivering this project. Additionally, I think some of the cost issues in this project relate to it being, sort of applying for funding before design was complete, and I'm hopefully you will consider. That's no longer relevant now that design is we're in advanced design, but hopefully that is another thing that should keep costs from escalating too much. But I on the subject of the Lancaster segment, while I agree that that part is important, given that it seems like there's more issues with the design and land acquisition, it might make sense to fund that later and focus on the parts that are more complete that will be more cost effective. I also endorse everything in Andrew's comment as well. I agree there. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, we're on item number 14. Any members of the public? I don't see any further hands. Mr. Graves, if you could lower your hand.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to mention we're running short on time,
Yeah,
so
so we're wrap
please
that up.
condense.
Yes. So I think
motion
we're done.
To receive and file 14.
We don't.
Yeah, we had the letter. Know. Yeah, I think we're
good on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
We took action.
Yes. Item 15, Madam Chair, is your Metro Highways SR 14 environmental study update. I believe.
Eugene?
Yeah.
Here you go. You got that?
If you could speak directly into the mic, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Let me get to your slide. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and board members. Full Gina Sanchez with Metro's Complete Streets and Highway Program. We have a brief update on the SR14. So as a brief project overview, this project is currently in the environmental review phase, or what we're calling the project approval environmental document phase. Caltrans is the lead agency for both the state and federal environmental document, and we are sponsoring the project. The map shows our, I'm sorry, could you go back? Our current study area, which includes segments within the city of Santa Clarita and incorporated areas of the LA County. Next slide. This is a slide showing an overview of our PA&D process, starting with we're in the early part of the process where we're initiating the environmental technical studies. And once the environmental documents are prepared, we would be preparing the project report as the final report and also the final environmental documents to environmentally clear the project. Next slide, please. So for the, we completed an alternatives analysis study for this project where we looked at a number of options or alternatives that would address the purpose and need of the project. And these are the two alternatives that we're carrying forward into the environmental study. One is the no-build alternative. And not only is this alternative required, but we're also looking to make sure that we can evaluate and compare it with the proposed project or the build alternative. And the build alternative includes a number of improvements, which includes the lane gap closure or adding lanes to where the roadway narrows to fill in the gaps. Also includes transportation system management and transportation demand management improvements that would help reduce congestion. We're also looking at upgrades to the existing drainage systems and also enhancing existing wildlife habitat connectivity. Next slide, please. So we have started preparing the technical studies for this project, starting with the development of methodology reports. And so these are the technical studies that are currently underway. We're also started our Native American consultation process. To date, we've received two requests or two letters that are interested in consulting with us on this project. And we're also developing what's called the APE, which outlines the geographic area where we're going to be looking at cultural impacts along the project corridor. Next slide, please. In terms of outreach activities, we're continuing our presentation to this group, and also we have a meeting with NCC next week. We're continuing our monthly project development team meetings, which consist of representatives from local cities, Caltrans, and of course NCTC. Last month there was a meeting, a coordination meeting between Caltrans and the cities of Lancaster and Palmdale to coordinate on projects that are underway along the corridor, and the intent is to make this meeting quarterly so that there's a regular coordination with the cities, and we will include City of Santa Clarita at the next quarterly meeting. We also started meeting with Metrolink and Caltrans to explore ways to mitigate potential VMT impacts on this project, and the intent there too is also to hold those meetings quarterly. And then we will also coordinate with NCTC and our community relations to engage communities and also work with the local community-based organizations to more broadly and meaningfully engage with the communities along the corridor. This would also help us with as we seek future grant funding for the project, for the future phases of this project. Next slide. So this is our schedule. We're in PA&D We started our public scoping, which we concluded in December of 2024. We're anticipating this process would continue through fall of 2027. We anticipate releasing the draft environmental document in spring of 2027, and the final environmental document will be completed in fall of 2027. Next slide. So in terms of next steps, we will continue preparing the environmental technical studies, continue our coordination with Caltrans, and also our, coordinate with your staff to address comments that we received during the public scoping meetings. And that concludes my presentation. Be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions on this?
It's just a requirement under the CEQA, the state environmental process. It's yes.
Arthur, has this taken on the VMT nonsense, vehicle miles travel?
Directly, excuse me, directly on VMT, no, but on project specific things, yes. Like the VMT will impact the cost of this project, for example. This project, because they see it as capacity enhancing, which means it increases climate impact, will likely mean that this project would be forced to write a check for vehicle miles traveled as a mitigation.
Even if there's another carpool lane and we have more electric cars now and hybrids, and
that needs to be discussed. But in general, the way that the county and the state have been, the way Metro and the state have been looking at this, and Metro is being guided by the state, is that still would be capacity enhancing, even another HOV lane.
Are we exhausted looking at all the other grants, like the bipartisan? And because there's still a lot of money.
We will continue. I think I've said this, some of the briefings, but the likelihood that there could be some federal funding under this administration for highways and roads are more likely than for transit projects, for bikeway projects, for those projects that you have been seeing for the last few years. So we're still, and you know, you heard Mr. Hamparian talking about that in his report. They're still shaking out some of those criteria, but I would think by the end of the year, we'll see some more highway-oriented funding coming out of this administration.
I'm hoping so, because of in the bipartisan bill, there's still $270 billion left, and then we have all the other grants we talked about that can be reimbursed. Maybe I'm thinking our 14 freeway, with the commuting situation we have, we should have two carpool lanes with our different hours. We're kind of in a unique situation where the Antelope Valley is.
Your idea is a very good one. It's just like I said, at this point, the state still considers adding an HOV lane an added capacity.
Well, I think we need to change our mind.
But we need to look at, it's the policy level stuff that we have to try to hit on legislatively.
Okay. Well, just to take in the paper today that President Trump has stated that there should be no vehicle mile fees because it hurts the very people they say it's supposed to help.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I don't agree with him. I mean, I do agree with him.
I think there's a lot of anticipation at LA Metro. You've heard on national telecasts where New York, Washington, Metro have been come under fire for some of their policies, whether it be DEI, whether it be safety. I would anticipate Metro having some sort of pressure in the next 3 to 6 months coming from the federal government. For example, Metro has an equity platform.
Yep, I heard that word several times.
So, yep. Do you want to? Yeah.
Maybe at some point it'd be worthwhile to get Metro here to report maybe on the VMT front in general, because there was a countywide effort in response to meeting the mandated statewide legislation to create a VMT program, right? There was some disagreement and working together to try to figure out a way, because Metro was arguing for a different calculator on the VMT front than like the statewide calculator. one that was regionally sensitive, kind of context for countywide. But also since then, since this is one of the first projects statewide that's kind of testing this VMT paradigm, Metro's also got a pilot countywide VMT mitigation bank that they're working on. So all this stuff kind of gets wrapped up into this project, future projects in the subregion, whatever. It could be worthwhile to have a high level understanding of all of this and what's going on.
Okay, good. I wrote that down as one of my issues we can talk about as soon as we're done with the rest of this.
Yeah, I mean, the goal of that is that that check I talked about that we were supposed to write for this project, that should be spent within our subregion for climate friendly projects. That's how they talk about, but that's a good idea, Director Perry. We'll do that.
Okay, our last item is agenda item number six.
Madam Chair, let me just look real quick for public comment. Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you. My apologies. Item 15, if any members of the public wanted to comment on item 15, please use the raise hand. Seeing none, Madam Chair. Item 16, Caltrans. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and board members. I'm Kelly Lamar, Caltrans District 7 Program Project Management, and I'm going to run through, I know you have our presentation, I'm going to run through that. I do have construction, and, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you just want to do questions?
I would say so. I mean, I'm sure everyone has been able to read this, and if you have questions on it, I don't know that we need a full report on it. If I'm wrong, let me know. Okay. Question?
I'm good.
The last couple of meetings I brought up that at the scoping meetings in Santa Clarita, that it came up about the pavement markings and how it's dangerous out there on the 14 coming down to Santa Clarita, as well as coming over the hill from the 514. You don't know which lane you're in. I end up in the wrong lane. And then I know people in Acton and Agua Dulce brought up the fact that the signage at the ramps is very confusing, and they end up, you know, entering an exit ramp. And, you know, I've asked at every meeting, can we go out and just put some pavement markings on there? You know, and I've been told, yeah, but I don't see anything happening.
Can you speak to that?
Actually, I'm sorry, my safety person had to leave because we're running a little bit late. So I might have to get back to you. Unfortunately, this is my first meeting presenting here, and yes, I don't totally have that.
Yeah.
Maintenance, I don't think is here for that, but I know they had a field meeting with our safety team and some others in the area, and we're planning on doing that.
I'll follow up with Lee Haber on that and the team.
And sure. I'll make sure that we also report next time, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay. Did you have anything else you needed to add other than, you know, I apologize for having you here and having you wait for so long, but.
No, most of the information on my report, I think you've seen the last time, and I'm sorry that we are not answering.
Just to make sure with the Poppy Festival, right, we're continuing to coordinate with those interchanges. I know you've been doing that.
Yes.
So please continue that. I know the Lancaster, Mr. Godin sends the information. So just please, right now, obviously, it's going to be very crowded the next few weekends.
I'm just wondering for the agenda for Caltrans, we enumerate. And we,
which issues?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We have them to come to talk on the issues we want to hear about. Okay. So, you know, it's not just general.
We'll do that, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. We'll work with Heather next time.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
17.
Yes. Do we have any board member comments and future agenda items? I know I do, but I'd like to hear everybody else first.
Real quick for Caltrans, that was just up here. Caltrans.
Caltrans.
The Kelly. Safety engineer for Caltrans. Kelly. Sorry. Real quick, can you relay a note to your safety person? Can you have them drive up the 14 freeway from Santa Clarita all the way up to Palmdale and look at all the signs? A lot of them, I'd say 20 or 30%, maybe more, they don't reflect back at night anymore. And there's some missing. We need the signs. We need a sign rehab done for the safety of our residents, because there's a lot of dark areas and areas that don't have any lights. But a lot of the signs need to be redone and haven't been touched in years.
Yes, and I know that they did have a meeting, and unfortunately I didn't grab his report when he had to go to another meeting at 3 o'clock with the secretary, but I know that they did do some field work, and I will bring that back to him and make sure that we report back to this group on what they find and when the next project will be, either, you know, our maintenance or an upcoming sign project.
Some like the day they look okay, but then at nighttime they're black.
19 million.
They have a lifespan
right.
because of the sun and all that stuff. But yeah, you're aware. I was doing emails a while ago, but it fell off somewhere.
Okay. We'll make sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Do we know anything about, I may be opening a can of worms, I don't know, super commuter opportunity zone?
Other than what Mr. Zink has talked about, I do not know of that.
Can we just get... No, I would just like some information on it. That's all, you know.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Do we have anything else that we wish to add or speak about?
We'll be bringing the budget at the next July's board meeting. That'll be your main agenda item for the next meeting in July.
Okay, and our next meeting is July 14th at the Antelope Valley Transit Authority in Lancaster. Thank you all very much.
Yes,
we are adjourned.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.